General Menezes, Reel 5. We were talking about your time with the board, the regular commission selection board. Now, you were doing that from February 46 to September 46, from the look of this. Anything else you'd like to say about that period?
No, it was a very instructive experience from the point of view of insight into human nature. But as events portended, shall we say, we had graded people from in the event there was nobody in the whole system of testing. Grade 1, there were half a dozen of us in grade 2, and of course up to grade 7. This itself created problems, because I was then posted from the selection board to as a deputy assistant adjutant general in the selection of personnel directorate in September 46. Now, I had no difficulty whatsoever with my British director. I'd had no difficulty earlier with the British president of the selection board, Colonel Murray, MBE, MC. Nor did I have any difficulty with Brigadier Duke, who was my first director in the selection of personnel directorate, who was CBDSO. But the point nevertheless does arise that by circumstance, the majority of the people who were placed in grade 7 were Muslims. And after Brigadier Duke, with nationalization impending, we got a Hindu brigadier. I had no difficulty in dealing with him because I had known him before. Thereafter, we got a Muslim brigadier. I mean, this was all happening at a time when partition had not been decided. I mean, the writing was on the wall that there was agitation for independence, but there was no formal decision about partition. But nevertheless, I did get a Muslim brigadier, and I can only say from my personal experience that the Muslims were already lobbying for partition. And from my personal viewpoint, there was absolutely no occasion for partition. The subcontinent was one and should have continued as one. Partition has not solved any problems, it's only created more problems. But nevertheless, to come back to early 1947, when this Brigadier Muslim arrived as my director.
Well, let's look at what your work was first and how you worked under your first director. Well, that would be Brigadier Hope.
Brigadier Duke.
Duke, sorry. Now, what was the nature of your work in the personnel directorate, and how did you get on with Brigadier Duke? You were at GHQ, that would be at Delhi, would it?
No, this directorate was at Meerut also.
Because
during the war, everybody could not be put into Delhi. So the directors had been farmed out at various places. So recruiting directorate, selection of personnel directorate was in Meerut. Other directorates were in Simla. But insofar as I'm concerned, I had moved across from the selection board into the selection of personnel directorate, on the basis of my performance at the selection board. And
now, what exactly was your work?
So, insofar as at the selection board, I was senior group testing officer, but at this appointment as deputy assistant adjutant general, I had to visit other selection boards to see that the group testing standards were being maintained. So, for example, at Jamshedpur, at Dehradun, wherever the other selection boards were there. Now, some of these selection boards had now been diverted from testing for Indian Emergency Commissions, though there's no longer Indian Emergency Commissions were being gazetted. They were diverted to civilians for permanent regular commissions in Indian Army at the Indian Military Academy. Separately, we were geared up at the 71 board to deal with Indian Emergency Commission officers to keep them on in the regular Army as to who was suitable. So I had to visit the selection boards to see that whether the standards were being maintained. They were not doing, shall we say, the Vanaji Abhishek Mohan was doing civilians for the Indian Military Academy. Example, at Dehradun, there'd be the Army Board plus an Air Force Board. The Air Force Board was doing interviews both for emergency commission pilots to be given regular commission to Indian Air Force, as also for civilians to be taken into the permanent cadre of the Indian Air Force. Because the Indian Air Force was now going to be expanded much more than it was in the days of the British. So, because it was a nascent service.
Now, did you find that the testing, the group testing was of an equal standard across the board, or were there problems you encountered?
You see, group testing has to be objective. They often found people with subjective, shall we say, approaches had been posted as group testing officers.
And what kind of subjective approaches? What biases were creeping in? Was it religion mainly, or was it?
No, I would not say that the bias was, religion. At that particular point of time when these people had been posted, it was a question that of efficiency. They were not people who had been efficient in their battalions and had applied to be posted out to avoid conflicts with their commanding officers. I mean, I remember one particular captain. Now, he had been a cadet at the same time as myself at Bangalore, but he'd come out as a British cadet. His mother was British, but his father was Indian. But nevertheless, he'd come out as a British cadet. Now he'd applied for a regular commission and had been accepted. But in the course of his, shall we say, career, his British commanding officer had declared him a psychiatric case in Burma. So he was then posted out and sent to a hospital, then to a psychiatrist, who then found him, shall we say, normal, and was suggested that instead of his being employed in an infantry battalion where he was not combative enough for the commanding officer, he was then suggested to be posted to a selection board, at that time selecting people for Indian Military Academy. Now, from that point of view, I mean, he was all right, but he had this, what you could call a canker, in the sense that he'd been found wanting in the battalion. He was not considered combative enough. So therefore, he was apt to favor those people who were not combative enough to be regular officers, but would be more placid like himself. It is entirely a group testing officer is meant to be objective, but subjective influences do creep in terms of our own personality and in terms of our own career. So as I say, I was brought in as a senior group testing officer on my performance at the board. A lot of these people had never been to a board, but had come through other means to the selection board.
Now, what else were you doing? Was that your only duty, or did you have other duties other than monitoring the group testing?
No, my aim was, my purpose was to monitor this group testing and to see that all the boards were efficient from the physical point of view. I didn't interfere from the psychiatry point of view. There was a separate lieutenant colonel dealing with that. But nevertheless, since you do raise the point, I did find conflicts starting in these boards, not on a religious point of view, but, shall we say, on a service point of view.
Can you give us some examples?
Well, I mean, I did not find it with the British president that I had served under, or the British president who had tested me. But once you got Indian officers as presidents, what did happen if he was armored corps? If he was armored corps, he would prefer to have a deputy president, shall we say, of his own arm. Whereas if he got an infantry deputy president, the armored corps would consider him inferior. So there were these personal likes and dislikes insofar as these postings went. We have retained the system of these selection boards, as I said, but we've done away with the psychiatrist and only brought in a psychologist. But overall, I would say that as a result of the wrong kind of officer being posted to these boards, we've now got an artificial deficiency in the Indian Army of 13,000 officers. Well, I can't say that there are not 13,000 suitable people in the country.
We will be touching on this again, I'm sure. Now, how did you get on with Brigadier Duke?
I got on well enough with Brigadier Duke. He had been a prisoner of war. He had been a prisoner of war, but he's a thorough gentleman. His wife was a great lady. I had no problems with him. As I say, his successor was an Indian brigadier as a result of the Nationalization Committee that had been appointed by Auchinleck, or the then British Indian government. So the Nationalization Committee had recommended that appointments like this Director of Selection of Personnel, instead of being held by Britain, should be held by an Indian. So I got his successor was a Brigadier Natu Singh, whom I'd known.
How do you spell that? Sorry?
N-A-T-H-U. N-A-T-H-U.
And then Singh?
Natu Singh. S-I-N-G-H. N-A-T-H-U.
And what was this was a Hindu one?
This is a Hindu.
What was he like?
I had no difficulty with him. I'd known him from before, from my Chinwara days, where he was commanding a Rajput Regiment battalion. He was a 1923 graduate from Sandhurst. So, as I say, I knew him from before. I had no difficulty with him. He also, since he had got this appointment through the aegis of the auspices of the Nationalization Committee, he also felt that we had been what he called in Hindi bantan, that it was a corruption of the French bon ton. That is, that we were looking for people who would be serfs and not people who were necessarily officers. In that, inasmuch as our approach was, from his point of view, a bit shallow or superficial. But nevertheless, so what he did was a decision to nationalize the Indian Army. He then decided to review all the gradings of the selection boards. So that meant that eventually, as a result of this decision, sevens would not be called up because they were deemed to be failures. But six who were deemed to be below average would be reviewed. And the British, who were then gazetting in order to maintain the figure of 500 wartime entry only, were only gazetting up to grade 4. So he then introduced the gazetting of grade 5s. Gazetting of grade 5s, and all grade 6s, who were the largest number, would then be reviewed.
So there was a relaxation in the standards at the time?
I would say there was a relaxation in the standards, and there was the argument was there was the nationalization expediency, and therefore it had to be done. So by the time that independence actually occurred, all grade 5s had been gazetted, which had not been the British intention, and the grade 6s had been reviewed. But by that time, I had already fallen out with Brigadier Natu Singh's Muslim successor, because who said that I had been anti-Muslim.
Now, tell me about what was the name of this brigadier, and what was the nature of your quarrel with him?
I had no quarrel with him.
His quarrel with you, then?
Yes. I mean, as a junior officer, I can't quarrel with him.
But
he was Brigadier Nawab Aga Mohammad Raza. He came from a well-to-do Punjabi family.
How do you spell that? Sorry.
His initials would be enough. His initials, you want his full name.
Probably his full name, actually. It seems important.
Nawab, N-A-W-A-B, to show that he was from a feudal family. Aga, A-G-H-A, Muhammad, A-G-H-A, Aga. Muhammad, M-O-H-A-M-M-E-D. Muhammad Raza, R-A-Z-A.
Raza.
Aga Muhammad Raza. He came from...
Now, what was he like as a director? What did you think of him?
As a director, I thought he was fossilized. As a human being, out of working hours, he was very, very social.
Now, what do you mean by fossilized? Can you just explore that a little?
I think he himself was of low intelligence. He himself was of low intelligence, you see. But in the days that he had got to Sandhurst, he was 1924 or 25, Sandhurst Commission. In those days, you did not have selection boards. You did not have intelligence tests. It was largely a feudal army, and the British preferred that system.
So, not a competent director?
I would not say he was a competent director. I would not say, but he went far in Pakistan, because I did bump into him in Pakistan, which is a separate chapter, and where he was supposed to be director of organization.
We'll come back to that. Now, so what was your relationship with him? He came to accuse you of anti-Muslim bias. Now, could you talk about that? What was going on?
Well, he had asked to see all the results of the various people. I mean, he did not want to ask for them as Muslims. He just wanted to see the list of people who had been tested. And then it struck him that the largest number in grade 7 were Muslims. But that is correct. They were backward. Even in your league tables today, over here, the Chinese and your educational league tables, which come out in the papers annually, the Chinese and Indians are at the top. The whites or the British are in between. And the Muslims, the Pakistanis, Bangladeshis, and the blacks are at the bottom. I mean, that's a fact recorded over here. So it was a question of mental aptitudes or intellects resulting from their family background to education. Hindu family places more emphasis on education than does a Muslim family at that point of time. So by circumstance, the vast majority of the people in the lower grades were Muslims. So he accused me, as a non-Muslim, of being anti-Muslim, and have foisted that kind of result on the Muslims, which I told him was not the case. I was a minority myself.
As a Catholic?
But as a Christian, as an Indian Christian, I was a minority myself. So where is the question of my being anti-Muslim? I mean, tomorrow, the Hindus may be anti-Christian. It wasn't a question, as far as I was concerned, of being anti-Muslim. I was trying to be fair to anybody. But one had to go by their education, their, shall we say, intellectual results. So there'd be petty things daily where he'd find fault with me that I did not kick my heels when I came into his office. I mean, he was that kind of... So I said I was wearing crepe soles. I could not click my heels. It's a true story. And then, for example, he wanted a peon to go to the post office. So the peon would refuse to go walking. So he said, Major Saab, ka bicycle le jao. So then the peon would leave it outside the post office, go in. By the time he came back, it would have been stolen. So, I mean, there were a kind of daily situation. So I eventually applied for transfer back to my regiment. So in February, after a month of this gentleman, in February 47, I applied for return to regimental duty. And people were surprised because at that particular point in time, the average Indian officer was trying to get to GHQ as fast as he could, with being the seat of power. But anyway, I applied for return to regimental duty. By now, the 5th Battalion, as I told you, had been disbanded, and half the 5th Battalion had been sent to the 3rd Battalion. So I applied for return to regimental duty, and it so happened that the commanding officer of the 3rd Battalion was now Lieutenant Colonel Shabir, with whom I'd shared a tent in Chinwara when he'd come from the Indian Cavalry, the Guides Cavalry, in order to learn something about the infantry. So I knew Colonel Shabir, although I didn't write to him. He wrote to me to say that he was asking for me, since he'd heard that I was applying for return to regimental duty. So that was my posting order then issued from GHQ Meerut to the 3rd Battalion Indian Grenadiers.
And that would be in April 1947 when it actually went through, according to this form here. Would that?
Yes, I applied in February, as I say. That it took time for the paperwork to go on to GHQ because I was only a minor cog. I couldn't leave overnight. I took my annual leave, 1 month's annual leave, during which, in March, the posting order came out to go to the 3rd Battalion Indian Grenadiers at a place called Thal in Kurram in the Northwest Frontier Province.
At where? Thal?
Thal.
How do you spell that?
Sorry. Thal. Thal in Kurram. Thal. Thal. And the valley is known as Kurram. K-U-R-R-A-M. Thal in Kurram. And that is up to where Nader Shah had advanced in 1919. And he was stopped at Thal. So anyway, a permanent fort was then built at Thal. So the battalion was in that fort.
Now, what were your impressions of the 3rd Battalion? What did you think of them?
The 3rd Battalion had been as part of a tank brigade in the Burma operations. Colonel Shabir had taken over towards the end of the war in Burma. They had now ceased to be a motorized battalion and was now a normal infantry battalion. That is why it had been sent to this place, Thal, from the armored brigade at the Selpore-Kambalpore area. And so I arrived over there. So half the battalion...
How did they compare to your previous unit for efficiency and general, you know, smartness, military qualities, would you say?
Well, half the battalion was from my old battalion, from the 5th Battalion. So I was given command of a company that I already knew in that battalion, in the 5th Battalion. So I was given command of that of a company. So I knew the men in any case.
Now, was this a rifle company? Because you'd been the support company before. Was it support again or was it rifle?
I forgot to mention to you that in Gurdai, I was changed from a support company to a rifle company.
That's why you'd been on the picket duty. I should have spotted that, yes, I understand.
So I was changed from to command a rifle company. So I'd become a rifle company commander in August, September 45. And so I was given command of a rifle company in the 3rd Battalion by Colonel Shabir, whom I say, as I knew, who had shared a tent with him for 2 months in Chinwara, where he had, in the general area of Chinwara. We were not actually in Chinwara, but we were out in a village outside.
Now, what was Colonel Shabir like? Could you describe the nature of the man and his qualities as you saw it, or otherwise?
Colonel Shabir was a thorough gentleman. He was from the Indian Cavalry. His father-in-law was the governor of Sindh, Sir Lancelot Graham. He himself, his grandfather, had won the VC in 1857. So, I mean, he was, shall we say, of the old school.
Now, what was the fort like at Thal? Was it a new fort, a modern fort? No,
it was an old fort. I mean, built for the purposes of repulsing any further, shall we say, incursions by the Afghans.
What type of fort was it? Did you see was it an old... I'm having difficulty visualising it.
Well, it is a fort in the usual sense of fortifications, a moat, a moat.
A very old fort. Then
not, you know. It was not built as a very old fort, but it was built fairly recently. It was built in the, shall we say, early part of the 20th century. It was built in the latter part of the 19th century.
And what sort of defences did it have?
No, it was a complete. I'll try to bring you a picture of it. The complete fortifications were massive walls with a moat and bastions from which the mountain guns could fire. It was designed in as a result of the operations in the what you may call the Second Afghan War.